From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Police Chief Ed Kondracki arrived in La Crosse 19 years ago. Since then, he has helped change policing in the city. Kondracki is retiring at the end of April. I recently met with the chief in his office to reflect on his time leading La Crosse's police force. Kondracki starts out by summarizing his time as chief in one word.
If I were to describe my last almost 20 years with La Crosse, you know, I would say that it's been very rewarding.
And why is that?
Well, you know, La Crosse is a very nice community. People here are easy to work with. I am a strong advocate for community policing. And one of the greatest challenges in community policing, of course, is engaging the community. And what I found was that people here in La Crosse were very easy to engage, and that they were eager to interact with their police. During the course of the last 20 years, I think I've served on just about every community-based organization's board, including the YMCA, the Red Cross, the Boys and Girls Club. I even had the good fortune to chair the United Way campaign for the entire Cooley region. And as such, I had an opportunity to meet with and interact with all those organizations that are under the umbrella of United Way. And what a nice opportunity to meet some really, really fantastic people. To me, what's made policing a lifetime endeavor has been working with the community. You know, we've gone through a transition. I've actually been in policing for 47 years. And my father was a police officer in Milwaukee for 33 years. And in fact, he was a police officer when I was born. So I basically, literally grew up in a police family, and I've thought about policing my entire life. And I consider it fortunate for me to have come into policing during a change in the entire way that we police in America. Policing in America has changed to a community policing era, if you will. About the time I came into policing, we were in the end of, or towards the tail of what was referred to as the reform era. Back in the day, if you will, the emphasis was on technology, police response times. How long does it take you to get from point A to point B? If someone calls the police, did it take 3 minutes or did it take 3.5 minutes? You know, what's your average response time? And during the course of the last 20, 30, maybe even 40 years, we've come to ask not how long did it take you to get there, but what did you do once you arrived? You know, and to me, that is it's actually a revolution in police thinking, if you will. It's a matter of going from call takers and report writers to community problem solvers. And to me, that's what makes policing challenging. It's what makes it rewarding. And I think anybody considering a career in law enforcement is going to find that this is a wonderful time to be in policing and a real opportunity to work with people and to make a difference.
Since you installed that mindset of the community policing, can you talk about the changes you saw within your department, but then also within the community?
You know, what's happened, I think, is the educational level of the La Crosse Police Department has increased 400% in just the little over 19 years that I've been here. We now have several people with graduate degrees. We've got a lot of people with bachelor's degrees. We've got a good number working on graduate degrees. So in general, this educational level has increased dramatically. And what I think is at the same time, the expectation of police officers coming into our agency has increased dramatically as well. These folks have gone to school. The majority of them have degrees in criminal justice, but others have degrees. We have got people with degrees in marketing and in business and so on. And these people have expectations, and they expect to put this education to use. So our challenge is to meet their needs by facilitating an opportunity to actually engage the community, do some meaningful problem solving. In other words, let's not go around putting a Band-Aid on problems, but let's address the underlying causes of problems in the community. And actually, the opportunities are unlimited. And what I've seen is our officers, as far as a change is concerned, they've come to recognize that they're not just call and report takers, but rather expected to do something about the issues that they deal with. At the same time, I think the community has engaged the police in a more meaningful way. Take as an example the Community Health Consortium. The police department plays an integral role in that effort, and that's an effort to deal with binge drinking and underage drinking. At the same time, we've engaged other community groups. Take the warming center as an example. How do you deal with homeless in your community? Take Oktoberfest. We've gone from 200 arrests on a weekend to 20, and that's because the officers sat down and said, what was resulting in all these arrests? What were the circumstances leading up to and following the event that resulted in 200 arrests? And what can we do to improve the public's perception of the way the police handle the situation? What can we do to reduce confrontation? And I think the officers themselves have come up with some meaningful responses to all that. So my concern in the very beginning of my career was that the police were so often left out of the equation. You'd hear about, well, the community is rallying around the homeless situation. And when you'd see who was being asked to come up with solutions, it was everybody except the police. And I began to wonder, are the police perceived as the solution, or are they perceived as part of the problem? And it's gratifying to see, as time goes on, that the police are more and more involved. Even take school-based initiatives. Take school resource officers as an example, or take the DARE officers, or officers who are involved in the GREAT program, Gang Resistance Education and Training. We've got officers in the schools. And when I go to a DARE graduation today, I'll have 80 DARE graduates in the audience and their families. My question to them is, how many of you have a friend who's a police officer? And Maureen, I can tell you it's very gratifying, and I always keep my fingers crossed, but I can tell you that all 80 of the DARE graduates will raise their hand and say they have a friend who's a police officer. And you know what? 20 or 30 years ago, I'm sorry to say, the only police officer most people knew was the one they met through the driver's window of their squad car. Of their personal car. It's the officer was in the squad car. But, you know, we need to interact with the community, young people and old alike, in a non-confrontational way. And let's bring some problem-solving skills to the table and interact with people that way. I think it makes a more meaningful job for the officer. Or you can go home at the end of the night thinking that you really are making a difference. And I think it makes a difference to the community as well, that they understand that someone's listening to their concerns. You know, we are among the few agencies that still make house calls 24/7. So we see the blighted conditions. We see squalor. You know, we see social unrest and disorder. And we see people, you know, sometimes at their very worst. And, you know, recognizing that, I think we ought to ask our officers, what do you think we can do about this situation?
So beyond community policing and increased police education, what are some of your other accomplishments in your 19 years on the La Crosse Force?
Well, you know, frankly, Maureen, I don't know what accomplishments I may have had. I think the most gratifying part of policing is in being a police chief is being able to facilitate others in making a real difference. And, you know, we have seen a significant difference in what our police department's able to do today. You know, I was very gratified when the men and women of our agency stepped forward and said they'd like to take the law enforcement oath of honor. as an example. Now, this is an oath, not to be confused with the oath of office. This is an actual oath that they voluntarily stand up and take as a demonstration to the values that they're committed to in delivering police service. We were the first agency in the state of Wisconsin to do that. Since then, over 120 other police departments in Wisconsin have followed our lead. Take even as an example, Maureen, of the police chaplains program. Here we have today 18 police chaplains from various religious backgrounds that are available. One's available on a 24/7 basis. And when we have the victims of crime or when we have a death in our community, those chaplains are available to us as volunteers, you know, and they also tend to the needs of our officers. What we're seeing in policing in the last several decades is a proliferation of those problems associated with stress in policing. We know, as an example, that about 150 officers are killed every year in America in the line of duty. But what's even more disturbing is about 450 commit suicide every year in America. And it's those issues leading up to these suicides that we need to be cognizant of. And our police chaplains program is addressing that issue, but also most recently our police officer support team. And that is a group of peers, members from within the department who have received special training in recognizing and also referring officers who are demonstrating some early symptoms of stress. It's often referred to as compassion fatigue. We find that our officers, who are the most compassionate, the most empathetic, who are putting themselves in the shoes of the victims on an everyday basis, are themselves disproportionately affected by what's being referred to as compassion fatigue. And you know, you can't be in a state of hypervigilance for 8, 10, or 12 hours a day and then just go home and say, well, you know, let's play soccer with the kids, everything's okay. Everything's not okay. They need to know how to deal with stress and how to decompress after a week or in sometimes a career. We know that post-traumatic stress disorder is as high among police officers as it is among people returning from the armed forces in battle. That seeing people killed in car accidents, seeing the victims of child abuse and crime and evil in general takes its toll on our officers. So we need to be aware of that. And I'm gratified to see that we are addressing that problem in the law enforcement community.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Chief Ed Kondracki, who at the end of April will be retiring after 19 years with the La Crosse Police Department. Chief Kondracki, I'm wondering if you can now talk about maybe some regrets that you've had or things that you wished you could have accomplished over your years with the La Crosse Police Department.
You know, actually, Maureen, I'm reminded of a discussion I had with Chief Cooper in Madison. Chief Cooper was the chief in Madison for, I believe, about 20 years, and he's referred to in all the police literature for having been an innovative individual who recognized that policing could go well beyond what we were seeing police do in our communities and in America in general, recognizing that we are a tremendous force for good and change in our communities, but we need to learn how to do it. When I talked to Chief Cooper, he said his only regret was that 20 years as the chief of police was not long enough to see the transition to the new policing. And while I really have no actual regrets, it's been an extremely challenging and rewarding career. There's been good times. There's been difficult times. I've seen way too many people die, and I've seen so much influence of evil in the world. And our challenge is not to be swallowed up by it. But, you know, in a way, you know, I regret having to step back and pass the torch on. But I know the time is right. The Bible tells us there's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest, and I believe there's a time to be an active police chief and there's a time to retire. And I recognize that it is time to pass the torch to the next generation, if you will. While I have no real regrets, I do regret not being able to see this thing through. There are a lot of things that we're looking forward to. We just completed a new 5-year plan. It's a strategic plan to lead this agency into the future. And when you look at the innovations that are on the horizon, I'd love to be here to see this thing through. But I also recognize that we've seen so many things. Just in the 47 years of policing, when I entered law enforcement, our officers had two-way radios in their squad cars. They communicated by calling in from call boxes located on the street. Today we've got mobile computers, we've got digital transmission of reports, we've got lasers, we've got DNA, we've got 800 megahertz communications, GPS, you name it, it goes on and on and on. Getting into the seat of a squad car today looks a little bit like crawling into the cockpit of an F-16, you know, and it's amazing what we've done. Not only in the area of technology, but just in the area of human interaction. You know, this is an exciting career, and it's one that I would encourage young people who really want to work with people and who really want to make a difference. This is the place to do it.
And I'm wondering if you could talk about unsolved murders in La Crosse. Unfortunately, there was another shooting this week, a young girl, Sarah Hogum. I mean, is it hard to retire knowing that there are open murder cases?
Well, actually, the La Crosse Police Department has had a pretty good track record in clearing homicides. I think the one that we had just in the last several weeks, young lady that was strangled and her assailant was subsequently arrested. You know, clearly there's a certain amount of satisfaction there, but in any situation in our community where people die, I think it's a cause for community concern. We know that just in the most recent information that drug deaths for the first time outnumbered traffic fatalities in the United States. That's in the history of America. Drug deaths now outnumber traffic fatalities.
And is that overdoses or murders associated with drug interactions?
That is, for the most part, drug overdoses. And it's due to the abuse of what we're seeing now is prescription drugs stepping in for the first time and really accounting for the majority of those kinds of deaths. But you know, when you look at, from a police perspective, not only out-and-out homicides, but this trend, we've had 9 people die of drug overdose in the last 9 months in La Crosse. And that's a very frustrating situation. And, to some extent, in policing, it's easy to feel like a voice crying in the wilderness. You know, I've tried to alert this community to the fact that drugs and alcohol are a real and present danger. And when 9 people die of drug overdoses, we did get homicide charges in a couple of those cases where individuals who provided those drugs were identified and arrested. But, you know, every one of those deaths, the individuals are just as dead as if they had drowned in the river or been shot in the streets of La Crosse. Yet those types of deaths receive the least amount of attention in the community. And yet, in my mind, they're just as serious. No unsolved murder is ever acceptable to policing. And you referenced our most recent case having occurred in just the last couple of days. We are pursuing a number of leads in that case, and We've got at least 16 investigators from the Wisconsin Division of Criminal Investigation assisting on this case. So from a police perspective, it's just about impossible to bring more resources or more experience to bear on a situation like that. So we'll remain cautiously optimistic, of resolving that case as well.
And the river drownings, as you just mentioned, that's a situation that changed a lot of things in La Crosse, I think. The entire community was affected by these in different ways. La Crosse Police Department, in some ways, began cracking down on binge drinking and underage drinking as a result of these. And you have been quoted by saying there's not a serial killer, but of course there are some people in the community that still think there is. So as you step away from the situation, how do you ease people's minds in the community, you know, about the river drownings?
I have no desire whatsoever to ease the community's feelings about those river drownings. They are tragic and unfortunate situations. In every instance, alcohol played a major role. The lowest blood alcohol content of anyone who drowned in the river was 0.20, and the highest was about 0.420. I'm sorry, about 0.42. What we have to do is emphasize and reemphasize that there is a serial killer in our community and in communities across the country, and it goes by the name of drug abuse on some occasions, depression on others, substance abuse, alcohol abuse.
Do you have any advice for the next police chief of La Crosse?
I think the next police chief of La Crosse, like any police chief, should be responsive to community needs. You have got to be open to the community. You got to be provide a means for input and accept advice and accept direction from the community. Policing in America is all about interacting with the community, and it's really about small agencies. When we think of, we watch television, we see New York, and New York has 40,000 police officers, and we start thinking in those kinds of perspectives. The fact is, most police departments have less than 50 officers, and policing in America is about agencies like La Crosse.
So what do you plan to do once you retire?
I plan on spending more time with my family, of course, but I also intend to do some community volunteering. Having served on so many community boards, it's been gratifying to see what's available. But I don't want to be on boards. I want to be a worker bee. I am looking to volunteer in the community, and be out there and do the hands-on stuff.
Get your hands dirty.
Absolutely. Yeah, not dirty, just hands-on.
Yeah. Chief Kondracki, is there anything else at all that you would like to talk about?
Not really. This is a university town, and it's been a real joy to reach out to the student body. I've had an opportunity to meet faculty and staff, and at one time or another, I've had an opportunity to speak before every student union in all three colleges, and haven't had an opportunity to meet the presidents and chancellor, and it's just a tremendous community and one that I am proud to be associated with.
Ed Kondracki is the police chief of La Crosse. He's retiring at the end of April. Listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Reusum, John Gatto, Mary Mian Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.